Amen. What an exciting Sunday. We are joint heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. I wrote this song down this morning that we're going to sing it. And I told them at the engineering stand, please put that song on, make sure it's on, and we're going to sing it. We give God the glory. It's an amazing day, this Family Sunday. And we celebrate family every Sunday we come here because we're one family. And it's so wonderful that everybody's here and we're all gaily dressed. It's amazing to be here this Sunday. Thank you, Pastor Obi, for me to stand here, hold the mic and speak where Pastor Obi, Pastor Manley speaks, a very huge honor. I'm shaking with the anointing from this spot. It's amazing. I thank God for the privilege I have to share this. The Family Enrichment Department is grateful for the time given us this year to impact families, impact parents. We did some program earlier this year for couples. We had couples outing. It was a picnic. It was very nice. We had so much fun. And here we are today, part of our very last program for this year. We also have one program coming up with the Family Fellowships. It's going to be, I think, towards the end of September. It's another day to celebrate the family, because the family fellowship will come together as we are in families. And this time is going to be really wonderful. We're going to have games. We're going to have competition between families. And I'm preparing so well to make sure that we do quiz and a lot of nice stuff. Praise the Lord. And before I go on, I'd like to call Rejoice. To come and share a short testimony. She's feeling very shy right now. Come on, get up. Okay, Rejoice, she's so humble, she's bent. Okay. All right, there she is. Just look at her. Okay, there you go.
Okay, it's going to be quick. I wasn't here when the video was played, and I had my video. I should have just sent it in so I wouldn't have to stand here. But hey, so when we went to the retreat in July, the ending of July, I was not expecting anything from God. I was just like going because it was like a paid trip. You feel me? Like, I was like, it's a free trip. I'm just gonna go and have fun with like my sisters from the church and just be in the presence of God, but really not expect anything. But that was a lie. When I got there, I was surrounded by so many people, so many other people my age who were believers and like strong believers. And I was like, wow, God, they're like 20, 21, 23, like praising God, speaking in tongues, all of that. And I was in the first night, the pastor that was there, he asked, you know, if anyone was wanting the spirit of tongues. And growing up, I was always, when people were speaking in tongues, I was always looking at them like, what are y'all saying? Like, I want to understand. But also, mostly, I would want to like speak as well. Like, I had the desires to, but never acted upon it. So that night, when we were, is it me or is it?
No, it's you.
Is me? Oh Lord. I'm so sorry, Jesus. Okay. So that night, we prayed, and the Holy Spirit was powerful in the room. Like, everyone was like prostrated down, like laid out flat out for God, like on fire. And that night, my mindset changed. It was not just a trip that I was on anymore, or a retreat that I was just wanting to get away from. Now it was a place where I knew that I could find refuge and saving. Growing up as a pastor's kid, it's always been like you've been looked at as like, you know, put on this pedestal of like, you know, if you're not living for God and you're a pastor's kid, you're doing it wrong. Me. And is it where I'm holding it? It was me. Sorry. Okay, I'll hold it right here. Sorry, Pastor, please don't fall. So it was always looked at as like, if you're a pastor's kid, you have to live right for God. But it was hard for me. So that night was really a lot of revelation and a lot of healing. So the next day we were praying. So sorry, I'm almost done. We were praying and the Holy Spirit once again was heavy. And I was like, okay, God, my prayer was like, God, I'm expectant. I'm putting my shackles down. I'm putting everything down at your throne. And I'm just expectant. Like, that was my word, like, was expectant, God. And right after that, one of my sisters that I went with literally came and held me in a tight hug and was just like, just start speaking. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what you're saying. Just start speaking in tongues. And I was like, but it won't make sense. And God was just like, just start speaking. And he used her in that moment to allow me to be free. So I started speaking and the Holy Spirit was so heavy. I don't even remember what happened after that because the Holy Spirit just took over after that. Sister Tolu was that left us. I miss her so much. Sister Tolu literally came by me. She walked past me while she was praying and she started speaking in tongues as well and held my back. And that's where I just knew like God was at work in me at that moment. And since we've been back, God has just been so good to me. And try not to cry, but he's been so good to me and everything. And something that I've always prayed was like, God, I'm tired of going to retreats. I'm tired of going to conferences and not being changed. Or I come back and the fire is not burning anymore. So since then, like, I've had my sisters who were there with me, and even the retreat, like, I met so many people that has been reaching out, like, hey, don't forget to keep fanning your flame. Don't forget to keep burning that altar that God has started in you. Don't forget to keep putting wood on your altar so that God can still keep putting fire in you. And ever since that, like, I never shared this, but last semester I took a break from school because it was so much. And I got back, and I remember before I left Houston, I told my sisters, I was like, y'all, I'm going back to school. Money is paid, all of that. And I don't care where the money's coming from. I'm just trusting God. And y'all, guess what? I'm back in school. Money is paid. I have a whole semester paid for, this semester and next semester paid for. If you were to ask me where the money came from, I would literally look at you and be like, I don't know. Because I really don't know. And I have so much family and friends and accountability. Like, my two friends came today to support and also to be here. Shout out to y'all. I love you guys so much. And yeah, thank you guys. Thank you, church family, for always believing in me and trusting me. Pastor Emmanuel always sees me and he's like, rejoice, how are you doing today? You know, like, he's like, is that my rejoice? Like, you know, like, and Pastor Obi and Mommy Kay, like, taking their time out of their busiest schedules to just make sure I'm doing good. And like my parents, like, I love them so much. You know, my dad and my mom, like, they've trusted and believed God for so many things, and like, for to see it happen now is like such a blessing, and I love them so, so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think we should just share the grace and go home. Oh, family is a very patient work. Very patient work. Trusting and waiting. Amen. Okay, today we're going to talk briefly about legacy, and this is one legacy. She's a legacy. A lot of work done, prayer done, and waiting, and she's been born. Praise the Lord. The word legacy is quite broad, and when we chose to speak about legacy, I got quite confused because I started looking at it since about 30 days, and it's so big, so heavy. Eventually, I was able to crystal a little things out, which I wish and I pray God's going to use to bless us and make us to focus and think differently about our activity as Christians and how we're using the energies God has deposited in us. Legacies could mean money. Like somebody leaving a legacy of $1 million when the person passes. I wish that happened to me. $1 million would change a lot of things. You know, some come into huge houses and lands and acres of land. Most of us didn't have anything. Well, my father left a building. A building, which is quite nice. And not many of us are quite blessed to have anybody leaving anything. None of us are quite blessed. Some left their children with a legacy of love, respect, and faith. That's what they left. Love, respect, and faith. Some left their artistic or professional life. They raised accountants, so they left a legacy of accounting in the family. Raised artists, left a legacy of designs and stuff like that. There are some negative legacies too, like a war, leaving a legacy of pain and suffering, like it's happening in Ukraine right now. Families displaced, husbands are dead, and we're going to have countless widows made from Ukraine as we speak. And when the war is over, there's devastation, and for many years, and some people will have what they call PTSD, a trauma, and all of that from watching people die. Our world is suffering in negative legacies. Other legacy is what the Lord God Almighty has left for us. Creation, the stars, the moon, all the things we enjoy in the seasons. This is like all legacies of God's awesome power as he created the world, as he gave us Jesus. And Jesus himself left a legacy. So it's important that we understand legacies. Legacies is what we leave behind for family, for society. A legacy is also described by what others become as a result of our influence over them. When you work patiently with people, you leave a legacy. You're patiently going on with a person. It's taking a long time, but you never give up and just continue. Like your children, a child that is completely off, probably spent some time in jail and all of that, but you never give up. And you never give up until that child changed, until the values are deposited. Legacies are etched into the minds of others and the stories they share about you when you go. I'm wondering what people say about me when I go. Well, they remember I stood at the gate and say, hello, how are you? You know, but we're going to go one day. And the important thing, we must leave a legacy. We had a friend who departed a few weeks ago, Dr. Adeyemi Doro is his name. And when we listened to all he did, oh, it was awesome. It showed that this guy was in a hurry. He had a rare disease, a rare part of what you call the SS, sickle cell disease. It's a rare part. It makes him live a longer time, but it's terminal. And he knew he was going to go at a certain point. I think it was 40, he did his 40th birthday. But this man, from what we heard, went like he was crazy. He stuffed the Bible into the hearts of his children. He reached out to people. He worked like crazy. He knew he was going to go. And he was going to leave a legacy. So it was a project. It's only after he's gone we discovered it was a project. And he went on. When we listened to all of that, I cried and I thought to myself, oh, we have so many years. So many years. And right now, as I speak to you, I pray that we would see the remaining years ahead of us, those who are old and those who are young, to begin to do some things. We're going to share from the scripture. And the Lord is going to open our understanding to what he's telling us today, what he's telling me today. Billy Graham said something, and I quote, "The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and of faith. Legacy is not about titles or positions. Legacy is about credibility, influence, positive role modeling, passion, and integrity." Legacy is not what you did to yourself. It's not your PhD. Legacy is what you do to others. And legacy is about others buying into your beliefs and value system and following them when they're gone, because what you left behind is worth, is as its true worth, and is worth working on. Amen. Now, how does Bible describe legacies? Thank you, man, for coming. You know, Auntie Josephine is an amazing person, and she's a great person, and she's somebody who is leaving a huge legacy. You will live long, ma'am, and you do much more than you're doing right now. So how does the Bible describe a legacy? There is a small story we need to share together from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. There are two stories basically, but if you open to Joshua chapter 4, if you touch your tablets, and rather than opening it, just point your tablets to Joshua chapter 4. The Israelites were crossing the Jordan, and Joshua said to them to pick 12 stones out of the Jordan. And those 12 stones, they put them somewhere, and I don't know how long it's been that. The pastor, did you see the 12 stones when you went to Israel? It's the legacy. And the story was that if the children ask about these 12 stones, that Israel will talk about how God dried up not just the Red Sea, but the Jordan for them to cross. And that was a story that was having told year after year to strengthen the faith of the children and to showcase the power and the faithfulness and the mercy of God. It was a memorial. You find that in Joshua chapter 4, in case you're wondering where that's from. And you can read it from 21 to 24. Actually, the story started from Joshua 4, 47. In book of Psalm chapter 78, verse 4. Psalm 78, 4. Scripture says, "We will not hide them from children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." This talks about testimonies. In Psalm 145, verse 4, Bible says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and declare your mighty works." You discover that the Bible talks about legacy in terms of testimonies about what God has done, implanted into the hearts of children, into the hearts of the family, the church. Indeed, every Sunday we come here, we share legacies of God, we share testimony, like we had one testimony now that's brought tears to our eyes of what God is doing and how is making our children to come to know him, how from generation to generation the name of the Lord is exalted. Now, the Bible also says something about making a testimony, a legacy to endure. In John 15, 16, in the book of John 15, 16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Bear fruit. It's not mango or banana, bear fruits. And it's not fruits, fruit. Basically, it's talking of consistent character. All right? And your fruit should abide. That means your testimony will be an enduring testimony. It talks about it abiding after you've gone. Abide means there is a continuous remembrance of what you've done, what has been established, what was put down. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he might give it to you. Amen. And then in 1 Peter 4:10, if you're writing or if you just please just follow these passages, we're talking about what the scripture is talking about, legacies. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. "Each of you, each of us, should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. We have different legacies we will establish. For some, the legacy might be they come, they arrange this chair every day. and it's neat. Or they stand at the gate. Or they stand there making sure that the microphones work. Or my beloved sister who consistently lead us into worship. The grace is in various forms. The gift of God. Amen. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. Another legacy story in the Bible, it's the one in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 42. Acts 9, 36 to 42 talks about the story of Dorcas, also known as Tabitha. Can we read it? Can somebody just read out so that we can puncture this quiet a little bit? Okay. It's there right on top of us. Now there was at Joppa, a certain, I hope that's Joppa or Joppa or whatever, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. Next verse. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Leader was nigh unto Joppa, quite close to Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hands and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Why was she brought back to life? She left a legacy. She was leaving a legacy, but she had not finished. She had not completed it. She had not finished the legacy. Legacies, when you're built, could keep you alive. God would decide that you need to spend more time here doing it and give you grace and strength to continue and not to be sick, not to have any failings in the work is you're doing, and the Holy Spirit is saying, yes, this is the job. This is what needs to be done, and you're doing it with all your heart. In Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Romans 4:16. A lot of Bible passage right now, and then we'll share a few stories, and we've come to our conclusion. Romans 4:16. Therefore, the promise come by faith, so that it may be by grace, may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offerings, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Because Abraham is the father of all. Remember this song, Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessing. Abraham was one person who left a huge legacy. He wasn't a special person. He wasn't a tongue-speaking Christian, but was consistently following God. He was following God. He was doing what he needed to do. And he left a huge legacy. And we could sing that song today. By what we do today in faith, our children and grandchildren shall receive blessings. What we do in faith today, it's automatic. Just like it's automatic blessings we receive from Abraham. Another person that left a huge legacy was David. David. And David didn't talk about himself. It was said by the Psalms. If you open to Psalm chapter 78, verses 72, it was described of David. Say, God chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel his inheritance. Listen to this. And David shepherded them with integrity of hearts. With skillful hands, he led them. Leadership is a legacy. Honestly, I'm not saying for any reason. I really thank God for the leadership of Pastor B He's leaving a legacy as he empowers us, empowers people to be what God wants them to be. He's a father. He's leaving a huge legacy, a big legacy. It's not the number of people who worship in the church. It's a matter of influence in the city, influence in America, influence all over the world. And that's a huge legacy. And in scripture too, about Esther, Nehemiah, who built the walls. You know, we can leave good legacies or poor ones. People left poor legacies in the Bible too. I just picked on the positive ones. Now, biblical biographies are full of legacies. If you study it, you see legacies all over the place. That's why it's so difficult to shrink this. And Paul says something. This is my final note on what the scriptures. Paul says something in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 to 27. We want to take a look at it. Let's read it together. We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. The emphasis is he packed together and utilized to the full extent all the energy Christ so powerfully works in him. Now, it's the same for all of us. We are huge potentials. There's power, energy packed in us to do a lot, to do more. Now, when Paul was writing his letters to the churches, he had no idea he was writing scriptures. He was just writing letters. He just wrote letters, wrote to the Ephesians, wrote to the Romans, wrote to everybody, wrote to Philippi. Little did he know that this was going to be the Bible. What a legacy. He had no idea he was writing the Bible. What are we doing today that we don't have idea what we're doing, what's going to be tomorrow? He didn't know he was writing the Bible. What a legacy. Now, how do we leave legacies in the Bible, in the family? We're one big family. How do we leave legacy? Because it's in the family the church grows, our homes, the people we relate with. Because we know children are loaned to us from God. Rejoice is a loan to the one cause. She's just passing through them. And they have responsibility to labor for all the children, all of us. All of us, all our children are loans. And even the grandchildren, they're just passing through us. And indeed, the people we relate with, this church, the time we spend here within ourselves, in this family, it's a very short time. And we have a very short time to impact what we need to impact to others. Since we and the same thing within our communities. And one of the things I know that helps families is this testimony that we talked about in the book of Joshua. Testimonies. We need to keep telling our children about God. We need to have, maybe the stones in this case would be videos, photographs. My grandchildren were home with us this last weekend, and they're quite a handful. They're all free boys, and they're so strong that I had to call my neighbor to bring their own grandchildren so that they can, because they wanted to play with only me. And so we had children coming from our neighbor's side. I had this friend behind my back that I became very friendly with. He went, he phoned his family, and he brought five other children the same age. So my house was a very big chaos. But I spent time to share testimonies with them. We would look at this, and we try to use everything to relate to Jesus. And my son is doing his very best. Sometimes we should record our parents before they go. We should make a recording of our parents before they go. They can tell you what they've done, what there's been the experience, and you can play it to the grandchildren. But listen to what grandma said, you know. So such family meetings should be a time for us to relate and talk about God and talk about faith and talk and bring out our testimonies. We should leave a legacy of character and faith, like we said before. And there is one part of it that is a huge legacy. Loving our spouse and our children with commitment and enthusiasm. Loving our spouses. America is full of divorce. And that's a negative legacy. Because it's affecting the children. It's affecting the grandchildren. And when you have a legacy of divorce, you find divorce is happening in the grandchildren, and the grandchildren also divorce, and then it continues. It continues. I pray the Lord would help us and stem the tide of divorce in America in Jesus' name. We must give our family the gift of time. For many years, we talked to Nigerian parents that giving time to children, paying attention and being at home, being there, is so important. We had to take one day holiday last Monday because we knew the grandkids were there, so that we can give them time. And we went to dairy farm where they're making milk. I don't know whether you've been to Athens, where they make the milk, Mayfield, and it was quite an awesome visit. The children were so excited. They will remember that. They will remember that you gave them time and you were there. We didn't go to work. My wife too didn't go to work, as busy as she was. The gift of time. Your presence is better than presents. Yes, you don't have children. The children have all gone. How can we leave a legacy? Choosing to build a legacy will bring you a life of purpose. When we started the Solid Foundation Ministry, please grant me a time to just introduce my big sister, Mrs. In fact, she's known as Commander Awobi. She's a veteran. She's a Navy commander in Nigeria. And she's convincing us. Thank you, ma'am. We basically started the Solid Foundation Ministry together. And for 25 years, my heart had purpose. It had meaning. There was something to do. I had a fire. There was something to do. Eventually, I resigned and worked in Solid Foundation Ministry full-time without pay for 7 years. A life of purpose, which was the best and the most exciting time of my life. Right now, we're here, and something is on my table. I'm not going to rest. You can't rest until you do what God wants you to do. You can't rest. You shouldn't rest. You don't retire from God. Man, there's no retirement for pastors. No retirement at all. You don't sit and then you're just looking. Nope. The great legacies of history are people who dedicated their lives to the service of humanity. We can serve those we love in our family, in church, in community. I'm sure you heard of Madame Teresa. Her name is etched in the hearts and minds of a lot of people in India and in the area where she served. She served diligently. She didn't raise any child, but she had about 1 million children. You don't need to have children if you don't have to have children. If that's not the way to go, but raise children. Give birth to other children. Etch your name in the lives of other people. Thinking about our legacy, our own individual legacy, will make us focus. It will make us create time. You don't need to start a foundation and name it. If the foundation will be named after you, after you have gone. Just keep working and keep sowing. You don't have to start something new. You can join a legacy. I can let you know MZPC is a legacy. This building that God has given unto us. And the work ahead is a huge legacy. And all hands need to be on deck. Because we haven't seen anything yet. What we sow now will go and live beyond us. So let's sow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Paul said to Corinthians, said, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord will never be in vain. There is reward for for legacy. There is reward. Imagine the reward this woman had. The woman we talked about, the Tabitha, she was brought back to life. I don't know how many years she spent. I don't know. Could you imagine what attitude she would have when she's given the second chance? She would open a shop. She would be sewing like crazy. She would be working hard. And she will live so many wonderful years, as you will live so many wonderful, productive years in Jesus' name. God needs us. There's so many few of us Christians who are so focused. And it needs a few of us to focus and work. It's not over. It's not over. We're just beginning. We're just beginning. God will keep us, and until we complete his divine plan, the plan that is given unto us, until the very end. When Paul got to the end of the road, this is what he said. Listen to what he said in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 78. Listen to what he said. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. That's the reward. We're heading somewhere. And my final word in book of Revelation 14:13. Revelation 14:13. Is it up? Can we have it up, please? Revelation 14:13, engineers. I want this up so that we can all see it. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Their legacy do follow them. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for sharing this with us this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for enlarging our hearts to understand. Give us grace not to rest. Give us grace. Empower us within us in the inside. Give us strength to lay our hands on the plow and never look back. to walk because you're giving strength in us. You're giving us so much strength, so much abilities, so much gifts. Help us to leave a legacy for you. Help us to tell the world about you. Help us to raise our families to be for signs and for wonders in this land. And our families in church to be for signs and for wonders. Lift us up here at MCPC to stand as a beacon for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We're so grateful. We're very grateful. Receive all the glory and all the honor. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.